Well, greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this 19th Sunday after Pentecost will be taken out of James, the Epistle of James, so you can remain seated. And we're going to read from chapter 5. We're going to read verses 13 through 20. And we'll read this in Jesus' name. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject and like passions as ye are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. We praise and we thank you that you have given us a gift. And Father, not only by the power of the Holy Spirit, but also in our lives, that we are connected to you in and through prayer. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know your word is truth. Allow us to heed to it, allow us to listen, and allow us to believe. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's amazing that Brother Gary came this morning, and he shared with us about his and his wife's ambition of entering into Thailand in the mission field. And the key element that he brought forth was the understanding of he desires for us to pray. To pray for him. To pray for the ministry. To pray for the individuals that would be receiving the word. And you know, it's very interesting because we have this gift of prayer that sometimes I would feel that I take for granted. That we would speak with our Lord. That we would communicate the issues, the struggles, the desires that we have. And that we would have this ability to just pour our heart out. James is a hard book. There's no way around it. It's a difficult book. A lot of the church fathers had a struggle with it. But really, the way to understand James is because I am a Christian, now I can do these things. Because I believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ, I can't help it. I must help other people. We don't do these things to become saved. We in reality do these things because we are saved. James has been looked at critically because of some of the instruction that it has. Because we're very independent. We don't like instruction. Maybe you do. I shouldn't probably blanket statement that. Maybe some people in this room are dying for some instruction. Maybe they want someone to tell them what to do. I'm not so good at that. God teaches me how to receive instruction. And even in through His Word. But prayer, as I said, is a beautiful opportunity to open ourselves up to one who in reality will not judge us for our thoughts, for our struggles, for he knows them all. Prayer is a very positive, if I could say word, tool. I don't know if it's the right word. It's a blessing, but it's a tool in our lives. There are people that will turn around and tell you, because of James and because of different parts of the scripture, you have to pray something and believe it and leave it there and never mention it again. Otherwise, you're doubting. I think that's a bunch of garbage. Prayer is good for us. God knows what we have need of. But sometimes I have to be honest with you. I don't know if I know what I need. Maybe you could relate better to this. You have a struggle in your life. You're driving down the road. Nobody's looking at you, so you're not really thinking about, you know, whether people are judging you or not. And when you're driving down the road, you just start talking. You have a situation in your life. You don't know what to do with it. And I would like to say you're talking to God, but let's pretend for a moment where you're going to keep this more neutral and say you're just talking. Have you ever found yourself talking yourself through a situation and you realize it's not as bad as you thought? And maybe if you just do a couple things here, it'll work out. Well, how much more powerful is that if you bring God into the equation? That whatever you may be facing, whatever the struggle may be going on, whatever victories you might be celebrating, to bring God into the circle and to understand by the power of your Spirit, He will help you have success. We can pour ourselves out. Jesus gave a great example of this. There's no way around it. The Gospel of Mark has a great understanding of this. Jesus was facing, in reality, He was facing His crucifixion. So in facing the crucifixion, we see very straightforward in chapter 14 that He needs some time to pour Himself out before God the Father. So He turns and He walks away with a couple of His disciples, right? And He walks away and He says, come on, I need to pray. So He goes over and He says, you guys sit here and wait a little while I go and pray. We could find this at verse 32. He says, sit here a while I pray. And then He takes Peter and James and John and He began to be sore amazed. In other words, you could see He was quite heavy. He was in pain. This was anguish. He was facing a very, very difficult time, being fully human, no doubt, yet fully God. And He turns, and He says to them, He says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. It's sorrowful. He says, actually to the point of death. He says, stay here. Keep an eye on me. Watch what's going on. This didn't come easily. Remember how I opened and I said, we can pour ourselves out before God. We can pour ourselves out in reality and actually admit to what we're struggling to before our God and not be judged. See, we have difficulty sometimes when we go to certain individuals and we say, well, I'd tell Pastor this, but you know, he's going to think I'm nuts. He's going to think I'm terrible. He's going to think I don't have faith. Doesn't seem Jesus is worried about this. He is offering Himself as the sacrifice for the world and is extremely heavy. And He knows where to turn. He says, I'm very sorrowful. He says, stay here a little while. He went forward a little and He fell on the ground. He prayed, poured Himself out. And He makes this known. He says, if it's possible. He says, for this hour to pass from me. And then He turns and He says, Father, everything is possible with You. He says, take away this cup from me. He says, nevertheless, not what I want, but what You will have. Your will be done. And then He comes back and He finds, Gary, I hope this doesn't happen to you, that you find us sleeping. He comes back and He finds them sleeping. Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you even spend 1 hour watching? He says, now He adds a little more to this. You can't do this on your own, Peter. It's not possible. So then He turns around and He says, watch here and pray. Peter, don't just sit there now because you're going to fall asleep again. And you're going to be overtaken. He says, now sit there and pray. He says, otherwise, you will fall into that temptation. He says, the spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak. In a way, he went away again and he prayed and he spake the same words. And he returned and what did he find? He found them sleeping. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are we found sleeping? In our prayer? life? Are we found sleeping? Or is it vital? Is it important? Is it alive? Do we not just say the words, oh, I'll pray for you? I've been guilty, but don't think I'm coming across judging you in a way that I haven't been guilty of. But do we see the power in prayer? Do we see Jesus gives examples of prayer? Do we see Jesus actually separate himself from the crowds and he actually goes to pray? Do we see Paul opening all of his epistles with the understanding, I cease not to pray for you. I'm always praying for you. Isn't that powerful? To know that Paul prayed for those that he served. He says very plainly, are there any among you? Are there any among you that are afflicted? Is there? Do any of us have struggles? Do any of us have pain? Do any of us have health issues? Do any of us have monetary issues? Do any of us in reality have these things? I'm sure we do. Pray about it. Ask God to have His will in your life. Ask God in reality to pour His blessing upon you. Ask in reality that God would reveal Himself through you. It's amazing. We can learn so much by going through difficulty. I don't quite often learn a lot going through good times. Jesse's a little more stubborn than that. He has a tendency to learn going through difficulties. I generally learn what doesn't work. But the fact of it is, he gives this great instruction. James says, you know what? If there's any among you that are afflicted, he says, let him pray. It starts off very personally. He's not going to leave it there. Don't think now that I'm saying, it's none of my business, don't worry about it. You just pray and have that between you and God. That's not what he's going to say, because he's going to continue in this. Sometimes we take sentence by sentence, and then we're like, oh, that's all it means. No. If any of you are afflicted, first and foremost, start to pray. What is that prayer? I remember going through difficulties in my time, and I think I've shared this with you more than once, but it's worth repeating. And I was going through a very difficult time in seminary. And I turned around and we were sitting in the classroom, the room was full of people, and I was so crabby that day because nothing seemed to be going right. And I told Jay, I said, I don't know why things are working out this way. Why does it always go this way? And he looked at me and he said probably one of the dumbest things I ever heard of in my life. Well, brother, do you pray about it? What kind of question is that? I'm a seminary student. I study the Bible. We go to chapel every morning. How many of you go to chapel every morning? I was so holy. I looked at him and I said, of course I pray. But then he got a little more personal. He says, well, how do you pray? How do I pray? I say, Lord, get me out of this. He says, maybe you should change your prayer. Change your prayer to, Lord, help me go through this, and that I may learn what I must learn going through this situation. We can learn by trials. We can learn through difficulty. It is never wasted when we look at it in the correct eyesight, with our eyes fixated on bringing honor and glory to God in whatever situation we're in. Are any of you afflicted? Let them pray. Lord, reveal to me what I must learn. Lord, reveal to me those around that may help me. Lord, reveal to me what, in all honesty, is your goodness in my life. Ask. He says in another part of James earlier, he says, you don't receive because you ask amiss. You're too often thinking about your flesh. Jesse was doing that. Lord, get me out of this. I don't want to experience it. Instead of saying, Father, allow me to learn what I must learn going through this, that I may bring honor and glory to you, not only in my ministry, not only in my life, but also that I may see you personally as goodness through the difficulty. Are any of you happy? He says, then sing psalms. Really, what he's saying here is don't hide your happiness. As Stoic Finns sometimes, or apostolics, we like to hide that. He says, rejoice. If there's blessing in your life, rejoice in that. My wife's not here, so I'll pick on her. She's such an example of this. I always tell people, I can't even have a bad day. Even when someone does something to me, she's always sticking up for them, or she sings me a song from childhood memories of, you know, scripture and stuff that tell me to love no matter what. She rejoices in all aspects of her life. That's a gift of God. That's not her. Are any of you sick? Remember now. Is any among you afflicted? Are you going through difficulty? First, start out by praying. Ask God. Are you sick? Why is this only physical? Why isn't this spiritual? I believe it's talking here very physically. What about spiritually? Are you sick? Let him call the elders. Seek for the power of the body of Christ to come around you. Call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over you, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. This isn't about them. It's not about you. It's about really magnifying what God has done to you. Oil in the Old Testament, so powerful. So is wine. We don't want to talk about wine again. But oil is considered a blessing. The heads were anointed with oil. They were blessed. Also, oil was very much medicinal. They believed it was a medicine. And really, you could take this in a couple of ways. To show the blessings of God upon a person, that he, you know, in reality is blessing them. But also, you could say, take your medicine and pray. Because there's many people that have tried to say, well, I'm not going to do this and this and this. He says, do it. But with prayer. Everybody has to live to their own convictions. I'm not saying they shouldn't. Everybody has to live to their own convictions. If God lays something in your heart, that's what you follow. But I remember when I was sick, I was told not to go to the doctors. That wasn't my conviction. 9 years later, I'm still here. But I'll tell you what, I took my medicine. Not only I, my wife, my family, the body of Christ were praying. I had a Muslim doctor. And he looked at me when I went in for one of my third scans and the tumor was gone. It was gone. It was the size of a football. It was gone. After 3 chemo treatments. And he looked at me and he said, I don't know how. I don't know how it's gone so quickly. I said, I do. He said, you do? And I said, yes. I said, my God used your medicine and the prayers of the saints to heal me. He looked at me and he said, keep praying to your God. And he walked out of the room. God is ultimate above everything. And I'm not trying to preach this that someone has to go to my conviction. This is where I was led. I was also told, very plainly, I needed to go to Mayo's. And I was told if I didn't go to Mayo's, I'd die. My wife and I prayed about it. We both came to the same conclusion. The same God that watched over us at Mayo's will be the same God that watches over us here at Portage. And my cancer was very treatable. Trust me. If I had something a lot more serious, and I've seen some of them, I'd go to a cancer research center and I'd be there in a heartbeat. And I'd still be praying to the same God to use that facility. It's all in conviction. But prayer is never left out of any of it. He says, bring them. I've only seen this twice in my life. One time was here. Brother Arvo. anointed one of our parishioners and prayed over her. And she was healed. She's just not on this side of earth. She was healed. She received a new body. Rejoicing on streets of gold. No more pain, no more suffering. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it doesn't take away from the prayer. It says very plainly, do this. Celebrate the gift that we have of lifting one another, of encouraging one another. Bring them to the Lord. He says the prayer of faith shall actually, the word here is more heal. Now, I'm not talking about faith healing. See, too many times we've turned around there too. And we've said, well, you know, you have to believe. If you don't believe it, then you're going to die no matter what. Where is the aspect of God's will in our lives? Where is the aspect of what God would want for us? And when? Please answer me. When did heaven become a consolation prize? Well, I don't really have anything else to do, so I guess I'll go to heaven. Well, that stinks. It's not a consolation prize. Yes, it's a victory. It's not that we look for death because we are born and created to be eternal, but by the fall of sin, this has entered in. But the reality of it is that if God chooses us to heal us on the other side of heaven, thanks be to God. The victory is won. Too many times we look at this as though it's like, well, a secondary prize, well, we don't have this, so we might as well get that. It's like, no. Thanks be to God, my commission is done. What God has purposed for me is complete, and I get to go home. What a victory! Will I be sad if my wife was taken today? Absolutely. Because it was never meant to be this way. But guess what? Because of the fall, here we are. But thanks be to God that He didn't leave us in this dire strait. He sent His only begotten Son that we would have the hope of eternity. You think this is a long life? Eternity is much longer. I think it's at least 5 years longer. He says, it will heal the sick. The Lord will raise him up. Listen to what that says. The Lord will raise him up. And maybe on this earthly bed, and you might get up and start serving. Might raise them up in that last day in the victory of Christ. But the prayer was answered. The prayer was answered. In all honesty, we all miss somebody that has passed. I know we do. But would you really want to bring them back to this? Would you want to bring them back to the sore backs? The bad knees, Alzheimer's, cancers, heartaches, devastation, earthquakes, floods, whatever it may be, would we want to bring them back? Or would we be like David and desire to go see them? We have such great things coming. He will raise them up. And that is a promise. And if He hath committed sins, they will be forgiven. That by the finished work of Jesus Christ, that they will be forgiven. That we are washed clean. It's an interesting thing, and we don't have a lot of time, and I told Cheryl this would be short, and I probably lied to her, so I'm going to have to start wrapping this up. But I'm going to give you one scenario. I said this in Bible study, and I don't know if I've ever said it here. But I was going through a difficult time when I was serving in a smaller church. There was an individual that had cancer and wasn't a believer. And someone kept begging me to go and to meet with this individual, and I kept going, and the individual kicked me out of their house at least 3 times. Go, go, go. And I was preaching at them. I was telling them all about the stuff they should repent of. I was doing everything as a young pastor would do, right? And I had difficulty because nothing was happening. This guy was getting more mad at me. And I was really feeling frustrated, and I talked to another pastor, and the pastor looked at me and he said, what are you waiting for? It's not your power. Bless them. Bless them. Pray for them. well, that's pretty simple, but it's not according to my traditional apostolic conservative ways, but okay. I went there. The guy looked at me and pointed at the door. He could hardly talk. Pointed at the door. And I said, listen, I'm not going to preach at you. I want to sit with you. And I want to pray for you. And he shook his head. And I sat down on a chair and I was lost. Didn't know what to say. So I just grabbed the guy's hand and I just started praying for him. And then I blessed him with the forgiveness of sins. Can you imagine that? Some apostolic pastor blessed him with the forgiveness of sins without him crawling to me and asking first. Sarcasm there, so please take that as a note. And I saw God work. By the power of that gospel message of the assurance that Jesus Christ has paid the debt. That man had tears rolling out of his eyes and he said the words, it's mine. It's mine. Pray. Pray for the one. Encourage the one. Assure them of what Jesus Christ has done. I remember Pastor Jay saying in the beginning of our Laudatus movement in Calumet back in the early 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s, they used to leave that church so moved by the Holy Spirit, they'd go out in the streets and bless everybody. Because it was a proclamation of the truth. For God so loved this world, He gave His only begotten Son. When did it become our axe to wield? Pray for them. He says, turn around and confess your faults one to another. Encourage one another. Pray for one another that you all may be healed. Share this message. He said, because I tell you the truth, the effectual prayer of a fervent man, of a righteous man, availeth much. And I think this speaks about us in Christ. Well, boy, do I think it speaks about Christ, hey? On that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. He prays for us in a priestly prayer. Oh, prayer. He says, you know, Elijah, he turned around and he was a man like us. That's what it means. He says he was sinful flesh just as anybody else. And he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain so that God would be glorified, that God would be known. That was the purpose, not for any other. And then he prayed again. And it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again and it was opened up. The floods were open. He says, brothers, if there's an individual in your life that is erring, pray for them. Encourage them. Speak with them. Show them the love of God that they may be corrected. I might have added some words in there, but what else would it be? Share the gospel with them that they may know the truth. He says, and let it be known, he that converteth a sinner from the error of his ways shall save the soul from death, eternal death. And boy, doesn't it hide a multitude of sins? I am so thankful that someone so many years ago took the time to share that gospel with me and pray for me that I would receive this. Because I'll tell you, I had at least three sins to hide. And God washed them all away. Brother, I pray that we do not fall asleep. I pray that we lift you in prayer every day. And all the missionaries throughout this world. For that is a great undertaking. To enter out into this world to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified and nothing else. That's a great undertaking. Because if we need prayer to help us in any direction, at least I could say this of me. It'd be, Father, keep my clay tongue silent and allow your Spirit to speak, that you would receive all honor and glory. So may the Lord bless you.